Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your hosts, Maureen Hollering, Steve Frampton, Brenda McCoy, and Bobby Marcheso. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to tonight's show. It is Psychic Viewpoint. I'm your host, Bobby Marcheso, but we also have one of our other hosts with us this evening as well, Lady Brenda. We'll get to her in just a few moments. But thanks for everybody who tunes in. Psychic Viewpoint, of course, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. Tonight, very excited because we are going to be talking about transcendental meditation, which started this whole meditation process thing for me. And I can't wait to find out more in depth about it, because this was over, gosh, I've been in self-exploration for probably close to 25 years. So it was right at the very, very beginning. And, you know, what do you understand, right? When you're that young and it really hit me like a bolt. And this will be really interesting because how far things have developed now, and then to go back and see all the points that I missed. So I'm really looking forward to it. Her name is Nina Mead, and she's a certified teacher of the TM program. So it's her and her husband, Jim. They're directors of the Encinitas, California Peace Palace. It's the Transcendental Meditation Center. So she's going to be coming up. But and then, of course, you know, the second half of the show, we're going to be doing free readings for everybody. If you have or know anybody that you believe could benefit from listening to the show, please pass on the links to them. Have them join us in the chat room. We always develop a wonderful community in the chat room, as well as just people who call into the show. So meanwhile, let's introduce our other co-host for this evening. It's Lady Brenda. Hello.
Hi there.
How are you?
Yes. You know what? I'm surviving the winds here in California. They're fierce.
Holy moly.
I know. Now, it's like a gale out there.
It's crazy. I couldn't sleep last night. It's hit everywhere. Like, these huge trees have just been uprooted and put out into the middle of the street, some of the busiest streets that we have. And it stretches. I had to drive into Hollywood today, and on the highway, it's all the exact same thing. I mean, the crews really have their work cut out from them.
Well,
crazy.
Okay, you know.
Did I just go
the
off?
Dogometer woke me up when it started. Yes, I have a dog that is very sensitive, so he woke. The dogometer is never wrong. So as soon as something's about to happen, 5 minutes before it happens, he warns us. So
that's pretty cool.
I know, isn't that cool? So, you know, he's tuned in. I think animals are, and I know that this subject that we're going to be talking to about tonight, like transcendental meditation. You know, I don't want to give anything away, but I'm sure that this is going to be a good source for people to learn how to tune into everything, the world around us, you know?
Absolutely, yeah. Which is what you do, right? Just so everybody knows.
Yes, like, I'm a predictive psychic. I work for PsychicAccess.com.
Yes.
I'm Lady Brenda. I'm known, a.k.a. Lady Brenda, and I specialize in dates, times, and places. I know a lot of psychics don't want to go there, but you know what? I just do it.
Why? What got you into that? Why do you do that, do you suppose? Or did it just happen? Or did you think this is the time that I want to do?
This is just, I have found it to be my particular, you know how we have, as psychics, we have particular gifts. I've been very fortunate with my accuracy. And so I just do it. And I have a certain method that I use to show me the dates. And But it's a secret.
No, come on. Give the secret up. I'll tell you my secret. It's Starbucks.
You tell me yours, and I'll tell you mine.
I just did. It's Starbucks.
Starbucks. Okay, yes. A double shot of macchiato or something.
Yes. So now you can tell me what's your secret, lady friend.
Let me see. A dirty martini, maybe.
Dirty martini. All right. Well, So I've already reminded, again, everybody in the chat room, I don't know that we're going to be able to take questions from the chat room, but here's what I would love for you to do in order to kind of participate. As we're talking with Nina on the phone, which we're on our way to getting her on the phone just now, but if you hear something or if there's something that you want to talk about or some kind of a question that you think would be appropriate for Nina, would you type it out? And then I would love to be able to ask those questions as well, because I think it's great getting everyone involved. And you guys actually just have some wonderful questions. So we'll get to that also, if you don't mind. And then, like I say, don't forget the second half of the show, where we'll be doing some free readings as well for everyone. But it's time not to delay now. Now, Nina Mead, she's a certified teacher of the Transcendental Meditation Program. She has taught people from 4 to 84, and she's taught them all how to transcend and experience their own inner unbounded consciousness, if you will. She studied Maharishi Vedic science extensively at the Maharishi University of Management. She received an MA in 2001. And then she was working on a PhD in reading the Vedic literature. And her specialty is researching the discovery of Veda and Vedic literature in human psychology. And then it's her and her husband, Jim, that are the directors of the Encinitas, California Peace Palace. Absolutely beautiful. You can visit the website at www.tm.org/San Diego. And I'll give that out again here in just a little bit. But meanwhile, Nina Mead is on the phone now. Nina, are you there?
Yes, hi. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm having a good time.
Now, don't lie to us. We'll know, Nina.
That's right.
I can't wait to talk to you tonight. I'm sure that you know, you talk about this a lot, and I really appreciate you coming on the show to talk to us about it. But, you know, years ago, I saw an advertisement, a commercial that got me up off the couch. My mom, I made her take me, I don't know if it was once every day for 5 days, something like that, but I had her drive me down into Denver, and I attended the opening parts of this transcendental meditation. And they put me in a room by myself, and they whispered my mantra in my ear. And then we just sat there and practiced. And I didn't even know really anything about meditation, but I thought it was the most fascinating experience and one that I've remembered to this day. And there's so many, with what I've been studying, there's so many various meditation techniques. So how does transcendental meditation differ from the many, again, there's thousands of them, isn't there, meditation techniques out there? So
there
how's
really
TM different
are, than and it? Over the, there's been a surge in the numbers of techniques in recent years. Transcendental meditation was brought to the West about 50 years ago by Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. And what we find is that it is the simplest, the most effortless, the most natural technique. That's my experience. It's the experience of a lot of people who do it. And at this point, there is actually research contrasting the different kinds of meditations, and each one has a characteristic brain signature. There's different things happening in the brain.
Put you in different states of the mind, right? Different states of the brain.
Different states of the mind are reflected in different states of the brain, which, you know, science has advanced over the past few years, so you can really look into the brain and see what's going on in the mind in a lot of respects.
Very fascinating. So can you, let's describe how TM works. Like, what is the actual technique? Can you put it into, I don't know, however many different steps that's easy to understand, or just to even kind of introduce somebody? Some people may actually never have heard of transcendental meditation.
Okay. So what makes it unique, in my experience, is that it involves transcending. The ordinary thinking mind is very active, and we're always projecting outward through the senses to the environment. We hear things, we see things. We're experiencing thought on a very active level of the mind. Underlying that active level are quieter and quieter levels until there's the quietest level of the mind is the field of consciousness itself. It's like the screen upon which all of the other things play out. But it's not, the field at the source of thought is a field of unlimited energy, unlimited intelligence and creativity. And we tap into that whether, you know, whether we do it a lot or a little, then TM increases our contact with that field of pure consciousness.
Fascinating. And then you can tap into that. How did you get started into all of that? How long have you been involved with TM?
Oh, I've been involved with TM for over 40 years. I went as a college student to a lecture. I was investigating a lot of different ways of developing full potential as an individual, right. And I played with a lot of different things and saw a poster on my college campus about transcendental meditation. And I went to that first lecture completely not knowing what to expect. And right. At that point, 40 years ago, there was one research study, and I was a science major in college, so I've always been kind of slanted in that direction of looking at what the science says. And this was a study that was done by a graduate student at Harvard, and he had been practicing TM himself, and he compared notes with other people who practiced it, and everyone showed the same kind of results, so he decided it would probably be sufficient for research, and he did his research and found really that TM creates a fourth state of consciousness, something that's different from waking, dreaming, and sleeping. And so when I went and heard that research, I figured that if that was going on in the body, very low metabolic rate, breathing slows down, blood chemistry changes, EEG changes, all of that, then right. I was curious enough to see what was going on in the mind. I began TM. I say we because I've been married forever as well as my husband.
That's right. To Jim, right? Your husband's name is Jim.
Yeah. He's not available right now. He's actually in the transcendent right now. But we began, and it really did fulfill everything that it promised to do, and so we've kept it up for these 40 years, getting deeper and deeper into it.
That's brilliant. Brenda, you're still there, correct?
I'm still here, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Did you, because you have a question that you had brought to me earlier that fits in right now with what she's talking about.
Well, yeah, well, I had several questions, but one of the things that I wanted to ask is, you know, there are a lot of meditation techniques out there. I mean, meditation techniques, you know, that have been used for millennium. And how does the TM method differ from some of the other ones, like, you know, total relaxation, focusing on an object, stuff like that?
Well, I think that most forms of meditation can fall into different categories. And one is concentration. So focusing on an object is a concentration technique. And concentration is difficult. It takes a lot of effort. And effort tends to keep us on the more active surface level of the mind. Now, mm-hmm. It is possible to transcend using a concentration technique, but it's not effortless. There are many different ways to get to the transcendent. And in my experience, TM is just the easiest, and I'm rather a lazy person, so I like the easiest.
you and 7 billion people right. on the planet.
So,
right,
and then, well, I guess you'll talk about mantras after that, but I know that that is the method in which you use. You'll explain about what the mantras are, huh?
The mantras
for those of us that don't know.
Yeah, we use certain mantras from the Vedic tradition of India. They are sounds without meaning associated, and they're sounds which are particularly suited to be a vehicle for the mind to travel inwards. And we say the mantras actually come from the field of consciousness reverberating within itself. But really the mantra is just a vehicle for the mind to settle down. It allows the attention to turn within. And we use a mantra, but it's not a concentration technique. It's a
right.
it's a pretty effortless technique. And mm-hmm. And it works. I mean, I teach people all the time. I continue to be amazed at the changes that happen in people within just a, you know, one or two meditations. It's rather amazing.
How many people worldwide now are practicing this particular technique? Or do you have an estimate? Do you even know how many are?
No, I don't. Years ago, it was in the order of millions, so it must be even larger at this point. I couldn't even begin to tell you.
Wow.
It's in just about every country of the world. The only country I know that it's not in right now, because there are a lot of Iranian meditators here in San Diego where we are, and they said in Iran right now, because they don't like people to come together in any groups, that's the only country that we know of that doesn't have TM in it right now.
That's very fascinating. That is so fascinating, because meditation is actually the key, don't you agree, to all spiritual development?
Yeah. It makes us in tune with our own inner nature and really awakens that field of all possibilities inside of us. And then the way that we want to use that afterwards is really up to us, and different people are interested in different things. But the key is to open ourselves to that unbounded nature inside.
So one of the other questions that Brenda had asked earlier that we had talked about was the lifestyle part of TM. Like, when you're first starting, is there any changes that, I mean, do you have to go through any cleanses or anything like that, or can just anybody, you just sit down and begin? Is there a preparation or intent that a person needs to put on?
Actually, that's another thing that I really love about teaching it, is that there's no change that's necessary in lifestyle, except for finding 20 minutes twice a day. What happens is that people change their lifestyles after they start, that they become much more in tune with what's good for them and what's not so good for them, and spontaneously bad habits start to drop off.
Right.
Good habits get strengthened. It's really amazing to watch that happening. But in terms of beginning, all a person really has to do, and you don't have to believe that it's going to work. You just do it. It's a mechanical technique that brings you to that field at the source of thought, that field of really unbounded energy and intelligence.
From our chat room, somebody had asked, if someone doesn't have access to in-person classes, taking it from a center or somebody who teaches it, can somebody still learn the technique, or do you have online classes or something like that?
We don't have online classes, because we really, when a person is learning, they need to sit with the teacher and do it one-on-one. Everyone has their own pace of instruction, and it doesn't work from a book. If we could do it from a book, we would. If we could do it online, we would. There's all kinds of information about it online, and huge amounts of research and wonderful videos, beautiful videos of TM projects with the homeless, TM projects in South America with children, TM projects in schools and with Native Americans. We've got really a lot of incredible things going on, but you can't learn it from a book. But there are TM teachers almost everywhere.
And it's difficult anyway, because I think it's more helpful as you're going through the meditation to have a teacher or instructor guide you at that point, you know, because you may have questions. I know that so many misnomers are out there about meditation, and so many people feel as though when they go through a meditation period that they're doing it wrong because they didn't have a particular experience that they were told they were going to have, or what they thought they may have. And so they begin to think that they're doing it wrong. And I think if you have an instructor that's in front of you instead that kind of guides you through that, it's more helpful than just being online anyway as well.
Yeah. believe me, if we could teach it.
I think it matters like that. I really, you know, you need to have an instructor. You need to have like a mentor, because this is, it's just not some stuff you can get off the internet. It's almost like it's passed down knowledge, you know.
Yeah, absolutely, and it has to be, I think, more cultivated.
It's more validated, you know. You validate the whole process when you have a teacher and you have, you know, a mentor and like spiritual guide, you know.
Absolutely.
This type of stuff, you know?
So we know why we meditate, Nina. But there's different reasons, isn't there? I think it's really depending on the person. It's all relative as to why each person meditates. What do you believe? Is there a main reason why you believe? What is your perception on meditation and why we should, or why do we meditate?
Oh, well, it's really interesting. I mean, I got involved with the TM technique years ago because I wanted to develop consciousness. I wanted to know what full human potential was, and I haven't been disappointed with my explorations in that way. Right now, the people that we're teaching, I would say about 75 to 80% of them are coming for relief of stress. That when we practice TM, we experience a very deep state of rest. It's a state of restful alertness. The mind is alert and expanded. But it's a very deep state for the body. And in that deep state, the body's inner intelligence goes to work and purifies any imbalances,
right,
any impurities. And what happens is that people experience tremendous relief of stress. And in modern society, there's just so much going on, so much overload, that people are just coming to us for that. They might or might not be interested in expanding consciousness, but it doesn't matter why a person learns how to meditate. It's like when you have a table, you pull one leg and all of the legs come, you know, the whole table moves. So even if a person is just learning for release of stress, as the stress gets dissolved, then the light of consciousness shines through more and more. And we get all the benefits. It doesn't matter what the reason we learn how to meditate. There's a beautiful project going on in one city where five judges have assigned prisoners, probationers. They can get out of prison more quickly if they decide they're going to meditate. And they have group meditation so that they make sure that they actually do it. And these are people who you know, from their side, they probably wouldn't have decided to meditate. But when they do, they experience the same changes that everyone else does. Their thinking is more clear. Their health is better. There's more inner happiness shining through. And the effect on these prisoners is that they don't go back to prison as much. There's much less recidivism, and that's why the judges have continued the project. So it doesn't matter why a person does the technique, it's an automatic thing.
The motivation. We always have different motivations, I always say, for people coming to see us as to why they do. And like you said, what happens is the experience that happens afterwards, and then each person takes that experience and moves on to whatever they want, and it doesn't matter motivation. I also enjoyed what you had said about it doesn't matter whether you believe in this or not, because it's still there. And just by simple focus and your breathing and like you said, some of the simple techniques that TM teaches just instantly takes you there, whether you don't have to believe it. It just does. And then it just automatically goes up.
Yeah. It's as if, you know, somebody said to me once, it's as if mankind had forgotten how to sleep. You know, it's a different state of consciousness. And somebody came and said, well, listen, if you do this thing called sleep, you think better, your health gets better, your relationships get better. It's in the same way. We have this field of consciousness inside of us. And so when we expose ourselves to that, then our thinking becomes more clear and orderly. Our health becomes better. everything becomes enriched when consciousness is stronger in our lives.
Nina, I wanted to ask you a question because for our audience, since we've been talking about it, and it's obvious that Bobby and I have a little bit of experience with TM, but some of the audience doesn't know. We talked a little bit about mantras. Now, are those mantras, like, are they sounds? Are they visual? Could you explain them?
The mantras we use are just sounds. They're sounds that are particularly suited to that inward march of the mind. It's mm-hmm. possible to transcend using any of the senses. TM is a technique for transcending using the sense of sound. That, you know, on the surface level of the mind, everything is very active. Mm-hmm. We go to quieter and quieter and quieter levels of the mind. And then the most quiet level of the mind is a level of orderliness, of intelligence, of creativity. And it's an infinite field. It's actually identical to the unified field in physics. And the unified field in physics is a field of infinite energy. I mean, multiple universes come out of the unified field, and that is the same identical thing as the field of consciousness.
So would you say that those mantras and those sounds are kind of like, you know, acting almost like a giant tuning fork to the energies in our bodies? And do you think that these are likened to the universal energies, you know, used in, you know, different things like the ancients talked about, like sound levitation or any of that kind of stuff? Or,
well, even, you know, even in the scriptures, it talks about the first thing was the Word and the Word was one.
Exactly, and that's very old, too.
That's, mm-hmm. I mean, it's a universal field. It's there inside of everyone, all time, reality. It's there at the basis of the whole universe. So it's just a technique to bring us, to bring our conscious mind in contact with that field.
But it's not, you know, sometimes it's viewed as, and I know that you've, because people enjoy putting labels and such on different techniques and different things that are out there. This is not a religion, right? Or philosophy.
No.
You don't have to change your lifestyle. Like you said, I think quite naturally one's lifestyle changes automatically by meditation. But this isn't that type of cultish type of a thing, is it?
No, it's not a religion. It's compatible with every religion and with no religion. There are many religious people who, when they meditate, they become more religious. If one isn't religious, one, I think, becomes more spiritual in one's outlook because we begin to realize the unity of all everything. Which leads us in a spiritual direction, but it's not a religion, and that's important to me.
It's a lifestyle, is what it is. It's life. It's kind of like a lifestyle, wouldn't you think? Kind of like a choice that you make to, you know, get closer and connected.
I would call it a technology of consciousness.
Well, there you go. And that's perfect. I love that.
That's great.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's just the technology to get us there. And it has that ability to do it for anyone. And it's really nice.
It's something that... Oh, I'm sorry.
Do that.
I'm sorry. Didn't hear.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go
no,
ahead.
She didn't hear you, Brenda.
Oh, I said it would be interesting if the worldwide media practiced TM. Things would probably be a lot different in the news they'd report, huh?
Yeah. That, it would
more
be
compassion.
Yeah. There's really interesting research that we've done. We've done pilot studies and demonstration projects where we have a large group of meditators go to different areas of the world, to a war zone, a tourist city, and just increase the coherent thinking in that area for a while. And what is found is that accident rates go down in war zones, the war activity goes down, just because there's more coherent thinking in the environment. Because everything we do in our own lives influences everyone and everything around us.
Imagine that.
It would be nice to have the media meditating, but it doesn't matter as long as we have enough meditators around them.
It would be nice. I could see all the world leaders sitting around in a meditation circle and saying their individual mantras. I think that's perfect. I don't know that that will happen, but it's a good thought.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Listen, everyone, you're listening to Psychic Access Talk Radio, Psychic Viewpoint, and we're going to be back. Our guest this evening is Nina Mead, certified teacher of the Transcendental Meditation Program. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to cover some more of the different types of techniques that are involved in TM. What happens if you can't sit still? One of the biggest things I always hear about when you're in meditation is, I can't sit still. My mind is everywhere. What do I do? How do I calm down? And then we'll talk about if there's any unpleasant side effects to Transcendental Meditation. Again, you're listening to Psychic Viewpoint. My name is Bobby. We also have Lady Brenda, my co-host, and we'll be back in just a short bit. Stay with us.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
And welcome back, everybody. My name is Bobby, and you're listening to Psychic Viewpoint, of course, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. My co-host, Lady Brenda, is with us tonight, who also,
of course,
works at Psychic Access. Yes, how are you?
I love the show so far.
I feel like
meditating right now.
I'm gonna. So if you don't mind just like taking over the show, that would be awesome. And we're just gonna meditate.
We can trade off. I want to.
You
do
know,
it.
it's funny because we could totally have a show like that. Nina, I'm sure you've heard of this before, but, you know, meditation is just about being quiet, isn't it? Just really getting into that inner source. But so far, I haven't found anybody who likes to listen to a radio show that's just completely silent. I don't think that's popular just yet. It's my goal, though, don't you think? That would be a good show?
I think that meditation is for being quiet and the radio is for being entertaining, and you're doing a good job on that.
Okay. You know, one of the things, again, as we talk about some of the misnomers with meditation, I've actually had, when I've taught meditation before or have worked with somebody who is doing a meditation, one of the things that they always do afterwards is say, well, I would say, so how did that feel? How was it? And they one of two things. It was either, well, nothing happened. It was just all quiet. Or the other one I get is that they were fidgety and that they couldn't sit still, or, of course, the mind and the thoughts comes up all over and over and over and over again. So what does Transcendental Meditation say about squirmy monkey mind, as it were, and all of those different things that can take place? Now, this, I think, is especially helpful for people who are beginning into meditation. But what is TM – how do they deal with something like that?
Well, we don't fight the fact that the mind is always going to fields of greater charm. The mind is always jumping around because it's looking for what is something that promises more energy, more satisfaction, more fulfillment. When we experience quieter and quieter levels of the mind is automatically drawn to that field at the source of thought. And the only thing that we can do that interferes with that is trying, is effort, is concentrating, is the natural, the really, what I give great credence to the discovery by Maharishi's teacher, that it's natural for the mind to go there. And so the most natural technique is the one which will take us there the fastest. The mind is drawn to the transcendent, and when it's there, it's just completely expanded and fulfilled in the transcendent.
So, and personal experiences, right, from that. People who have their own personal experience of what that may or may not feel like.
Yeah, it depends on the individual nervous system, what we experience that is. But it's a universal thing. And I mean, we've even taught kids with ADHD, kids who can't sit still. But the inward experience is so charming that they don't have any problem with that.
Right. What would you recommend? I've always agreed with meditation is one of those that, like you said, we're not trying to fight those thoughts. We're not trying to be free from the mind. I think we're trying to be free with the mind. And mm-hmm. transcendental meditation seems to work with that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So what are, can you give me, and I think I'd asked this earlier, but then we got off into another fascinating topic, and I apologize, but what are, can you give us just a couple of techniques or just very beginning techniques that somebody can maybe get a taste of or a hint of what TM holds?
I wish I could. It's just one technique. We don't have a whole smorgasbord of techniques. It's one technique that we teach individually, and we lead a person to the transcendent, and it happens right away. But there isn't a whole lot of other things. I mean, obviously, there are wonderful things that many people do. Yoga is wonderful, and it approaches that silence from the level of the body. And there, some people have breathing techniques, but we really just specialize in this one thing, which is transcending. And I can't do it for you on the air. I'm sorry. I wish I could, because I really wish that everyone could have access immediately to that field of inner peace.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, it is tough to describe over the radio. I just didn't know if there were things that were basically lined out or not. But like you said, it really is just a matter of just doing it, isn't it? Just kind of sitting down and getting into it. I like that.
Yeah. I mean, we can talk about it all that we want.
Oh, yeah, but
until you actually taste it, it's just talking about it. And unfortunately, yeah. I can't give you that experience on the radio.
No, good for you. Because again, I think that too many people have a misnomer of what, because too many people do talk about meditation. Here's what you're going to experience. Here's what's going to happen. And I think too many people hold that perception or that particular eagerness in mind of what will happen, and then when it doesn't, they blame themselves and wonder what it is that they're doing wrong or that they're not doing it right or something like that. So it's just it's something, like you said, it's kind of a personal experience to get into. But I've actually run into people who don't like meditation, and I know it's because of some of the resistance that comes up in their minds or some of the things that they just don't feel that they can do it. But what are there any unpleasant side effects that you've heard of that people have said anything about transcendental meditation?
We say it's so powerful you should limit yourself to doing it 20 minutes twice a day unless you've been meditating for a very long time. It's a preparation for activity, and doing it for 20 minutes is good for 4, 5, 6, 8 hours of activity afterwards. So we don't recommend that people do it for long, long periods. It's a very powerful technique, and there's a lot of purification that goes on during that time. So we want it to all be smooth and easy.
Right. So if somebody wants to, let's before we get to some other questions here, how would somebody go about it? I want to find out more about transcendental meditation because it sounds like it'll work for me. Can you let us all know how it is that we can do that?
Well, there's a huge amount of information on our website, www.tm.org. tm.org. There are interviews, there are videos, there's research, there's links to You can spend hours following all of the links there. I'm amazed at how much information is on the web at this point. And I would encourage people to look around and poke around. There are also wonderful videos on the David Lynch Foundation website. David Lynch, the movie director, got very involved with TM and has a foundation that helps to underwrite TM in schools, TM with Native Americans. And he's got wonderful videos because it's David Lynch. Of course the videos are going to be good.
Right.
He's got wonderful videos on that website, and that would be a good introduction for people.
Great. We have another co-host with us. His name is Steve, and he wanted to ask a question of you as well.
I do. Thank you, Barbara. My apologies for being late. I was unfortunately locked out of my house, but I'm now back in.
Glad to have you back, Steve. We were worried.
Oh, yes. Welcome, Steve.
Steve really goes into depth when we have a guest on the show. So he was actually back in his room doing transcendental meditation just so he can get the whole feel.
We had to pull him out.
Shake him out of it.
Well, I'm fascinated to listen to the discussion. My question is whether there is a particularly good time of day to meditate, or whether there is a particularly good time astrologically for us to really tune in and develop?
Oh, that's a very good question. It's not a question that people ask very often. The hour before dawn is a time of awakening, and it's a particularly good time. But it's not a particularly good time if one happens to be a person who likes to sleep at that hour. We tell people that twice a day, really any time, anywhere, not too late at night because it keeps you awake if you do it late at night, but otherwise it's just something that we feel can be done anywhere. I mean, the lady who I just taught yesterday said as she was out, they were going out to dinner, and she and her friend did it in a car in the parking lot of the taco shop. And that's fine. It's not a particularly spiritual place. But
it's not location-based, is it?
yeah. So we tell people just to find the time in their own busy schedule. Now, you know, obviously there will be times of according to the movement of the planets and all like that, it will support better experiences than others. But the importance is to add it into our daily routine anytime, anywhere.
Well, I'm fascinated that you mentioned straight away the significance of that window when we have just woken up, because I find that very late in my sleep cycle, I sometimes meet with spirit guides when I'm asleep, but in a very vivid dream state. And then I wake up in the morning just after those very vivid interactions, and I can recall what they taught me or what they shared with me. And I always find that when I wake up, that's when I'm most connected with spirit, and that's when I can really channel powerful philosophy and insight for myself. So is that in some way connected with the sleep cycle and potentially the fact that we are very closely tuned into spirit at the end of our sleep cycle or when we're just waking up?
Okay, I need to back off because I from my point of view, okay, waking state, sleep, even dreams are like curtains that cover this field of pure consciousness. And so what you say about when you first wake up, what that junction point between sleep and waking, or other people, it's the junction point between waking and sleeping, may have that experience, whether it's clear or foggy, of that field of pure consciousness. Because I've taught many people who say, oh, I've had this before. And they've experienced it right at that junction point. So I'm right with you in terms of that, the junction point between waking and sleeping. But where I'm not in, we in TM are really not exploring spirits. It's just not a direction that we go. If that's the desire of someone outside of their meditation, then, you know, everything becomes stronger. But we're really not making connection with any spirits other than our own inner nature. So that's the only place that I differ with you. But you're absolutely right on the junction point between the different states of consciousness.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Do you find that, I mean, it's very common when somebody's going through a meditation period to fall asleep. What do you recommend for people, or how does, when you're doing transcendental meditation, how do you...
If that's what you need, that's what you get. You get what your physiology needs at that time.
Nice.
So if there's built-up fatigue, you fall asleep. And when you wake
and that's
up,
what you need.
It's what you need. And when you wake up, you do a little bit more meditation, because then the physiology will be more refreshed. Because mind and body, you know, the experience in the mind depends on what's going on in the body, so we can't divorce the two.
Right. You know, somebody, again, from the chat room had a great question talking about sometimes they've noticed, either through meditation or through transcendental meditation, if you've noticed that some people who participate in that become anxious after a bit. Some people develop anxiousness. And I know through other meditative techniques that I've explored that certain anxiousness can occur, but only because of maybe stuff that's coming up that they haven't dealt with or that they've suppressed at some point. But again, your take on it might be completely different from that.
Yeah, it's actually usually the opposite. People are anxious and then they meditate and it goes away. I haven't had a lot of experience of people being extra anxious after they meditate. It's a process of dissolving stress. Now, as you said, you can stir up things, but usually, it just gets quietly eliminated in TM. It doesn't influence us afterwards.
Right. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say that there's fascinating research that is coming out now about PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yes.
It turns out there's a part of the brain, it's a little tiny part called the amygdala, and it's like the fear, and it's the fear center, and it's fright. And it gets into overdrive in people who have PTSD. And there's really no way to reset the amygdala, and it kind of feeds on itself. So, you know, as it gets more and more excited, it demands more and more excitation. And the neat thing is, even in one meditation, one session of TM, the amygdala gets reset back down to its original state. And I taught a veteran recently, and it was her experience. I mean, she didn't say, oh, my amygdala just got reset. But she did say, what's going on in my brain? It's different. And that was in the first meditation. So,
wow.
You know, it's a process of getting rid of stress, it doesn't jive with my experience that people are more anxious. They're way less anxious.
Yeah. Well, and that's the way, obviously, that's why, again, we talked about earlier reasons for meditating, why we want to do that, because all these things, dissolving these things. But and I just have seemed to notice that certain things arise to the surface, and it just depends on how each particular person deals with or works through those things that come to the surface. And I think that's what develops more of the anxiousness.
Yeah. Okay, good. Yes.
But so... tell me again, this is something we began to talk about, and you just mentioned a little bit here But the scientific research that's been done with transcendental meditation.
It's a phenomenal amount of research. It seems that whatever you look at in terms of changes in the body and also changes in the mind, that TM has an effect. There was a landmark study, I really think. It was done on people who already had had heart attacks, so they had significant heart disease, and they took over 200 people, randomly assigned them to two groups. They both did whatever the doctor said in terms of medicine and all that kind of thing, but one group learned TM and the other just had heart health education. And they followed this group of people for 9 years, and at the end of the 9 years, the TM group had 50% fewer heart attacks, 50% fewer strokes, and 50% less mortality than the other group. There's something very profound going on in the meditation, which just allows the body's inner intelligence to heal itself. It's really amazing. It's not, in TM we're not thinking about our heart or our arteries or anything
right.
like
right.
that. We're just experiencing a state of deep restfulness while the mind is expanded. But the inner intelligence of the body goes to work during that time and really repairs imbalances in all kinds of directions. So there's research on health, there's research on increased clarity of mind. There's a lot of brain research. There's research on the effects of people at work or effects for students at school, increased creativity, all of that kind of thing. And it's very validating because we're in a scientific age and we all believe what science tells us, or to a certain extent.
Right. Steve had one more question for you before we wrap up for this evening.
Thank you, Bobby. I wanted to ask you about how transcendental meditation can help us to connect with or build a bridge from the left brain to the right brain. I was speaking with a client this afternoon about intuition, creativity, and the fact that we're so educated to function from the left-hand side of the brain. So can TM help us to build that bridge and to tune in better to our intuitive abilities?
Beautiful. It's a beautiful question. Yeah, absolutely. What happens in TM is total brain functioning. The whole brain is functioning at once. It's a state of coherence that you really don't see any other time. I mean, just anecdotally, I taught a lady lawyer, and she said, oh, I'm so analytical all the time. And within a couple of weeks, she said, I'm wanting to do more artistic things. And she was picking up old hobbies that she had dropped. But it's just on the level of the brain functioning that we enliven the total brain and all parts of our personality get enlivened. There's we say it's like watering the root of a tree. You can do many things on the surface level. You can, pick off a bug here or whatever. But if you water the root, then every single aspect of that tree, every branch, every fruit, every flower gets enriched. And TM is increasing our connection with that source of the unlimited energy and creativity inside, and it shows up in everything we do.
Well, that's a wonderful explanation.
That is so fabulous. I'm going to start doing it again.
Definitely. Go find a TM center. Get your meditation checked. We give lifetime follow-up for anyone who's ever learned. And I'm all the time restarting people who did it for a while and then life got to be too much and they dropped it at one point. So go get checked and we'll get you started again.
I'm thinking, exactly. Nina, that you come out to Pasadena where I'm at and you come to the house, I'm thinking. Would that be all right? Is that too much to ask? In that case, TM would stand for too much.
It's been delightful talking with all of you.
In a perfect world, Bob.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Nina. Really great to come on the show. Just thank you so much. Just really great and insightful, and I'll be sure to give out the website here. And we appreciate you, and hopefully you can come on again at some point in the future for us as well.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, take care, Nina. Thanks.
Thank you, Nina.
Thank you.
So for those people who are listening, you can find out more information on Transcendental Meditation programs, the locations of centers around the world. If you go to www.tm.org, you can find out all the information that you need. So absolutely fabulous, Nina. What a wonderful spirit as well, and as you would expect from somebody who has been this and in it as long as she has. So a couple announcements before we get on with the show here coming up. Don't forget, stay tuned. The second half of the show, that's when we'll be taking free readings. All of us, myself, Steve, and Lady Brenda, will be taking your phone calls. We'll announce the call-in number here in just a little bit, so make sure that you got something to write it down. Plus, we'll put the number in the chat room for those of you who are in there as well. Now, last week, of course, was our Thanksgiving weekend show. We had 2 hours of straight readings, and surprisingly enough, it's surprising and yet it's not. We had a great listener base. So many people listened to last week's show, downloaded them from archives. What's great about that is because I have always believed that no matter in this work, if we're working with one particular individual, if you stay open, you will find that we all have this commonality and something will fit for you as well. It seems that sometimes we always have at least just one answer to everything, but we have to put it in different ways because everybody's different. But listen to some of our shows that you find in the archives. All the previous shows are there at psychicaccesstalkradio.com. They're under the archives tab. So then when you hear a show, and sometimes when you're listening to it as well, you have somebody in mind, ooh, she needs to hear this. I bet she could get a lot out of this. I bet so-and-so. So circulate the archive links. Tell all about the future show details. Give them to your friends, your family. We just obviously we create this show and this forum in the chat room so that we can spread this information to as many individuals as possible. And you can help us do that by helping us reach out to the public. Also, for more information, help, tips, psychic stuff, you can visit our psychicbloggers.com. You learn everything there. We, each one of our psychics that work at Psychic Access, a lot of them, we always try to encourage them to write out some type of a blog. And you can learn everything from reincarnation to the how-tos of psychic development. So visit our psychicbloggers.com. Now also, if you're interested in a reading from, of course, some of the best professional psychics that are on the net, visit us at psychicaccess.com. We have the most verified, accuracy tested psychics. Everybody has their own unique gifts. We have somebody in just about every little apartment that you can think of. They all have detailed profiles. You can find out more about them. You can choose from a list of, again, these the most authentically gifted psychics around. Each one of them also has videos as well that you can watch them. They talk about their gift and what it is that they do with that. We have free chat rooms that you can go into to get to know each psychic. Make sure that you have a connection with them before you decide to get a reading. So Doug, who helps us run this show, who runs all of Psychic Access, the high expectations that he requires of everyone that works here, you can be rest assured that you're going to get exactly what it is you need. Key point, need. Maybe not always what you want, but we always believe, and I know that my co-hosts agree with me, sometimes what you need is just a little bit more important. And again, each one of our co-hosts, between Steve and Lady Brenda and Maureen, who wasn't able to join us this evening, we all work at Psychic Access. So if you want a personal reading from any one of us, just go to psychicaccess.com. Love to hear from you. Another note as well, site owners, webmasters, you can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that's referred to psychicaccess.com. So if you want to find out about that, just visit us at psychicaccess.com/webmasters. And again, if you like the show, invite your friends, join us in the chat room and listen. If you don't like the show, keep it to yourself, frankly. That's just, no, I'm kidding. So there's something for everybody. Just help spread the word. All right, folks, are you ready? I think we're going to go into just a little bit of chat first. Then we're going to get to some free readings. So if you're going to call in, we'll give out the number here in just a few moments. Are you ready? 724-444-4851. I'm resting assured that that's being put into the chat room. If not, I can also do it myself. But Steve, you know, when you arrived, you know, just unbearably late. So I don't know what you got out of this show. Do you even know what the show is about, Steve? Transcendental meditation. Did you?
Absolutely.
Right.
He hit the ground running. I have faith in Steve.
Is that my sound, guys?
No, it's my, we got some microphones. So.
Okay. Well, what I wanted to say, Bobby, is actually I'm learning more and more that we intuit and grow on many different levels. It's almost as though there are layers and layers of communication, of presence and experience. And so I find increasingly that I can hear somebody's voice or hear parts of a conversation, and even if you weren't present for what happened previously, you still energetically receive something inspirational. Yeah, and it's really synchronistic and pertinent for me that we're having a show about meditation, because in all honesty, for years I didn't meditate. I was perhaps a little bit arrogant in that I just felt, well, I have an ability and there we go, and perhaps took it for granted. But when I matured and mellowed, I realized that there's always room for growth, for huge growth, transcendental growth. And so I began to meditate, and I was blown away not only by how much peace it gave me, how much it opened me up to more layers of spirit, of my spirit, of our spirit, of consciousness. And it's just become a very important part of my growth.
Well, it's a lifestyle, isn't it? Like, a lot of people wonder, you know, it takes so much to try to start a meditation. But once you know, at first I've noticed you have to work meditation into your life, into your day. But afterwards you find that your meditation exists and everything in your day works around your meditation, you know, which is how it developed for me.
And also, Bobby, I find that if I don't meditate in the morning, my day does not flow like it should. But if I do meditate in the morning, then my day unfolds so much more productively.
That is so true.
I was just getting ready to ask you, Brenda. You are on the same line with that, aren't you?
I am, because I do my yoga in the morning. The first thing I do, I get up, I drink water, and then I do my yoga. And part of the yoga is, then I do the breathing exercises, then I do a short meditation always. I should probably, and listening to her, and I started feeling guilty about my spiritual, like, growth. And I know I'm going to have to, I need to do more. I mean, 5 minutes, 10 minutes in the morning, you know. And it's not all that I do, but that's my daily ritual. See what I mean?
Yeah. Dude, so you did TM before.
Yes.
And so what, give me some examples of like what type of a mantra that you used in that. And I
well,
was
they
always
give
told
you,
that
they
give you one, but you're not supposed to tell.
That's right. And I'm not going to tell you. Ha ha. But it is, one was given to me, and oh God, we do the 20 minutes a day, and even if we're working in an office or something, at lunchtime we would do it. But what was happening back then was you get too into it. And some people would, you know, they'd go meditate 3 hours at a time, which is excessive. And in that way you get – what happens, which she didn't discuss, is that you can get detached from, you know – the world around you, the mundane, because, you know, as people who represent the spiritual work, we have to walk in both worlds.
Right.
And the meditation is, you know, meant to enhance our spiritual development and our awareness, not be something we escape into from reality. Do you see what I mean?
Absolutely.
Does that make sense?
That's what they try to do. A lot of people.
And so she's entirely correct in recommending just that's all you really need. You don't need to do 3 hours a day, but a lot of times people get so into it, they replace one addiction with something else. You know what I mean? Like, because they use that as an escape.
And it's not to be used as an escape. I don't know what ever happened to just doing a meditation like Steve was talking about so that your day flows more, but just doing a meditation so that because it feels good.
Well, it's very tempting because of the state in which you get to in that transcendental state. I mean, you want to go there all the time if you get really, really deep.
But you can see that's what people don't understand. It's not from my perception, you don't just meditate to go there and then you come out and go live life. It's one that you stay with and it develops throughout your life to where it's present all the time.
Yes.
You're living from that. So I think that scares a lot of people. And like you said, it's like a place to go to.
Mm-hmm.
So I went from TM to other different types of meditation until I just realized it's just a matter of sitting quietly, focusing your mind, not fighting with all of the thoughts. And I agree with Steve. For spiritual development, when I teach how to be a psychic, you know, that necessarily isn't the name of the class, but you know what I mean. When you're teaching people
psychic development. Meditation is one of the very first things you teach.
Because this is such a natural part of who we are, mm-hmm. intuitiveness is what we are, and that's automatically grows just by when you get yourself into a meditative state and you tap from the source and release all of that other stuff. So some people don't understand that. They want you to teach them tricks or, you know, little things that you can do, which are part of it. But really, if you want to be intuitive or you want to have that psychicness, just meditate and get rid of all the stuff that are keeping you from being psychic in the first place.
Yeah, but the gobbledygook that's out there.
The gobbledygook, yes.
It kind of interferes with you.
Steve, when you're into some of your meditation now, again, I'm sometimes, and on one hand, I'm reluctant to talk about experiences that happen when we meditate because I don't want to give people the idea that they're going to have the exact same thing. They could, but each experience is different from everybody. But and then on the other side, I think it's helpful for people to understand what it is that you've gone through. So some of the different experiences that you've had with the different forms of meditation, is there one meditation over another that say that you like better than the other one?
I feel that meditation has different purposes. I try to set an intention with my meditation, and depending on the intention I set, I determine how to meditate. So, for example, if I want to heal and recuperate, then there are certain pieces of music I play. And if I want to meditate in order to receive creative insight or influence that I can use in writing, then I will listen to different pieces of music because I've, over the years, programmed myself to recognize certain melodies, certain pieces of music, so that they trigger a certain state or a certain awareness. So as I said, I have some pieces of music for writing, I have some for just healing and rejuvenating. I'm very interested in trance and trance mediumship, so actually going into a deep state of meditation and even allowing a spirit to step in physically. And I know that many people feel uncomfortable with that, and it's not something that we should just play around with or try ad hoc, but if we've had guidance and tuition on how to go into a trance mediumship state, that's absolutely fascinating. And for me, it's incredible evidence of how present the spirit world is, because when you allow a spirit to literally use your voice box and speak through you, and you feel yourself stepping aside, standing to the side of your physical body whilst a spirit uses you to channel, it's incredible evidence of spirit, of the presence of power of the spirit world.
Don't you have to protect yourself, though, Steve, for something like that, so that you don't get physically, like, you know, ill or something like that through that experience?
Yeah, there are very strict protocols for trance mediumship. I don't do trance mediumship unless I'm with a certain group of people that can provide energy and protection.
Exactly.
Because it is quite dangerous. But
I think that should be clarified, too, for people who just want to go, I just want to do some trance mediumship. Oh, jeez.
And they will, too.
Don't do that. No. Like using the Ouija board and not knowing what you're doing.
Absolutely. It's a no-no, like the Ouija board. I won't touch the Ouija board, but it's a no-no unless you've really had the training with people that are experienced in taking you into that state. And also, you have to have, I mean, any form, it's physical mediumship. So any form of physical mediumship needs...
You can't just meddle. That's not a meddling thing. You can't just get into a... I mean, there's a all the way... You have to go and Steve, I'm still just getting to know Steve, but I can obviously you sense energies around people. And Steve, I just know you just have like lifetimes of energy and doing this around you, and even to this day and to this particular lifetime, there's still a sense of caution with you about it. So that should tell everybody something there. Even with all the experience that Steve has, he only does it under certain conditions. He's trained himself in a particular way, and there's still just slight amount of caution.
He likes structure. He likes structure. He's a Capricorn. He has to do it the right way.
Oh, now we're doing a reading on Steve.
I know he's a Capricorn, and I can relate. <'Cause>
Capricorn with Virgo rising.
Oh, see there, that's another that adds more onto it.
Yeah, it's a struggle some days.
Oh, I bet it is.
I like what you said, Steve, too, about different types of meditations. You know, when it comes to having so many out there, if you just can't pick a meditation that's right for you, really, meditation is about anything that quiets the mind, has you become still, and helps you to release all the gobbledygook, like Brenda said, you know, that you kind of collect with you. And there's intentional meditation where what is it that you want to get out? Some people want to do it to meet their guides. Some people want to do it to get in touch with angels or get signs or let me know what's the next path to walk. Or some people just want to do it for quiet. And I'm with Steve that some days there is music meditation that I will use. Sometimes it's just mostly quiet. There's releasing techniques that I will use that help me to attain a deeper state, all of that. So if you know, don't become confused with the many that are out there. Just find something that focuses your mind on just becoming quiet. And really, that's the only trick. You don't have to think, I'm going to do this to get better. I'm going to do this because I get angry all the time. So I'm going to do this so I'm not angry. All of that will come. Just do it because it feels good. Do it to just simply focus your mind. And all the anger and all the other stuff will simply dissolve and release and take care of itself. But here's a term that I've not heard of before that Brenda, I don't want to say came up with, but introduced to me. This is the first time I heard of it. So apparently there's an advanced method of transcendental meditation. It's called yogic flying.
Yeah, yogic flying.
I've never heard of that, but that helps healing people from illnesses and things like that. Is that right? Or tell me what it is.
Transcendental meditation, as she talked about, you know, the more, you know, you get in touch with that source within yourself, the and more focused you are, and the less outside influences, you know, are you know affecting you physically and stuff. You know, you have the power to heal yourself. Yogic flying is, I mean, it's actually what it is that there's flying and there's floating and hopping, and it starts with hopping. You know that you're in a yoga position, cross-legged position, the lotus position.
Okay.
And in their meditation, they experience, I've never done it because I've never been to that level, but they experience, you know, this euphoric feeling of lifting off, and it starts with just kind of bouncing and lifting, and they're, and the advanced yogis actually, you know, have been said to float up into the air, to actually levitate. Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that fascinating? To me, that's fascinating.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I've never I'm just going to be honest. I'm skeptical of that, but I'm so open that I would love to experience seeing that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, you can see it on the internet.
Is it really? It's on like YouTube or something like that?
You can look it up. Yeah.
Yeah, but I have to be there, you know?
I know. You have to be there. You have to experience it. I mean, that, you know, a lot of times in our dream states, we levitate a lot, you know, but you see, right. That's kind of, remember she was talking about that puts you right there in that state again, but you're physically there in this physical world instead of in an altered state like your sleep.
I've been levitated by spirit a few times.
And my gosh.
When it first happened, it was when I was a kid, and it was quite scary then, but it happened on four other occasions. And
are you sure it wasn't brownies, Steve? That
yeah, no
brownies.
I mean, I'm just saying,
Steve. You were talking about the mediumship and all. I do a lot of table tipping.
Oh
and
yes,
we've done some incredible table tipping. I mean, some table tipping that the table levitated so high up into the towards the ceiling that our fingertips could barely touch it.
I would love to experience that, and I never have. But that would be
physical mediumship is fascinating. You don't really much of it now, though. We should do a show sometime about physical mediumship and, you know, Helen Duncan and the amazing physical mediums that were around at the beginning of the 20th century.
Yeah.
I've had people ask me questions before, and so bear with me for just a second, but ask me, like, how do you know the difference between psychicness and mediumship? And for me, it's just a feeling. I know when I'm tuned into the other side. I know when I'm reading for the person that's in front of me. So with the physical mediumship, how is it simply just that you know that spirit's lifting the table? How do you know it's not psychokinesis or it's the energy of the individual that's tipping the table? Does that make sense? Do you see what I mean?
Well, what spirit do is they well, you know, you were talking about how you know the difference between working psychically and working mediumistically, and for me it's always the pace. So I always feel you can sit and read a client psychically, tuning into their energy, which is similar to our energy because we're in physical form. So we're on a similar frequency, and so we can stay in tune with their frequency aligned with ours, and we can read progressively, continuously. That's why you can sit and read someone for an hour. But I find that, particularly when I was first doing mediumship professionally, I found that the connection was far, far faster and more of a fleeting connection. So it take when we you know, Bobby, you raise your energy,
right? Yeah, totally.
And spirit have to work really hard to slow down their frequency, and then there's that connection. So you raise yours,
they
lower
theirs.
And then there's that connection, but it's harder to maintain because it takes huge energy, huge effort. That's why, you know, mediumship's exhausting. Mediums, we have to take good care of ourselves because it really takes a toll on you energetically. But I find with physical mediumship that you feel when you allow a spirit, and again, as you said, we're not recommending that people do this, because it requires a really strict protocol. But when a spirit draws very close to a medium physically, it's called overshadowing. So you feel the overshadowing. You literally feel your face start the texture of your skin. You feel your hands. You feel physical overshadowing, a physical change.
You know, I think I've felt that before. As you're describing, it really sounds familiar to me, but didn't know what to call it at the time.
Yeah, it's spirit drawing so close that they are overshadowing your energy field. And then, in effect, you can step out of yourself and allow a spirit to use your physical being to communicate or to gesticulate, articulate, whatever. But when we're performing physical mediumship, not trance mediumship, but physical mediumship like table tilting, then we're allowing spirits to use and manipulate the energy of the group to actually make something physically evidential occur, such as lifting a table. So to what extent is it our energy or spirit energy? It's hard to say. But, you know, when you ask for evidence, if you've got a table up near the ceiling and nobody's holding it, you have a very light touch. You're just connecting energy. Nobody's holding the table. So it's clear that there's something much bigger going on. But also you ask spirit to give evidence, and there can be voices, there can be tapping sounds, and all kinds of things can happen.
That's just great. We should totally do a show on that one time. I'd be absolutely fascinated with that. Everybody, now is the time. This is the portion of the show where we're doing
the moment of
truth. Any questions that it is that you have that you'd like to ask? 724. Let me read again. One of our mics is really acting up. I really apologize for that. So we're aware of the situation, though, so bear with us. 724-444-4851 are the numbers to call in, and we've already got somebody on the line. Steve, actually, you're up, and it's a caller from Michigan.
Great, thank you, Bobby. Who's calling from Michigan? Hello, Michigan.
Hello.
Hi, what's your name?
Tina.
Hello, Tina, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Very well, Tina, thank you. How can I help?
I've been having a very, very stressful time recently. And I am also, it's been about 5 months now, but I've still, been having a very hard time dealing with the death of my grandfather. And so I was hoping to, get a reading and possibly get in contact with him.
Okay. Well, you know, Tina, when you mention your grandfather, I immediately feel drawn to the number 10. And when I ask, well, why am I drawn to the number 10, I'm pointed to the calendar. So I feel that the month of October is a very significant time for your grandfather. It's a very nostalgic time. And I don't feel that you're the only grandchild. I feel that there's a male grandchild as well. Can you hear me, Tina? Are you there, Tina?
Did we lose her?
I don't know. Can you hear us, Tina?
Maybe not.
He says
she's there, so it might just be very personal. You know what I mean? If can you go on with the reading without her?
Okay. Absolutely. So this gentleman draws close, and I know that he was very active. I know that he was very physically active, and he was very proud of his physical strength. And this is a man that really tried to take care of himself. I know that he loved the outdoors. He loved being in nature, you know, walking on the lawn. He was very tuned into nature. He's a real animal lover. He's showing me a number of dogs, but there are two in particular that you should remember. And I can understand why you feel so upset at his passing, because he's such a gentle, he's a real gentleman. We use the term gentleman, but it's gentleman. He is such a gentle, gentle, loving, caring man. And he absolutely thinks the world of you. He mentions a boy as well. He has memories of a male grandchild. And He's very much around you. He's showing me a building that has a red roof. So I know that there are memories of a property with a red roof. And he's telling you that he is present. He is talking of a ring. It feels like a gold ring, a band that he left behind. And I hope that you either have that or that it will come to you, because that was very much his intention. And he is a wonderful grandfather. I mean, he shows me images of you sitting on his left knee and him telling you stories. Wonderful, wonderful relationship. So he's very present. He's very well. And he's asking you to reflect on the month of October. And he's telling you that by the month of next October, October 2010, there will have been great changes in your life, and you should be very open to professional opportunities and the financial opportunities that are coming your way, because he's very, very clear that this is an exciting time for you. He also gives you the letter R, and it sounds like Rick or Richard, and he points downwards, which to me means that this is a name that will be familiar to you here on Earth in this lifetime. So I'm sorry that we can't interact, that we can't hear you, but he's very loving and very present with you.
Hopefully that makes sense, Tina, if you picked up on, see, if you can still hear us, Tina, you know, sometimes that's when it's really helpful to go back to the archives and pick those out and listen to the messages that Steve had. So, all right. Brilliant. Thank you, Steve. Next up, we've got Brenda with a caller from New Jersey.
Hi, New Jersey. What's your question?
Hello. Who am I talking to?
This is Brenda.
Hi, Brenda. I've been trying to call you. Okay. Listen, Bobby's voice is nice, too. But I wanted to say I got a job promotion. Pay promotion, and I got changed on my job, but the lead tech on my job seems to hate me, and we were really good friends before, and I nominated her for employee of the quarter, and right after that, everything went downhill. I won out of this job in the worst way. What do you see?
Okay, let's take a peek here.
It's like a nightmare there now.
Yeah, it's definitely an imbalance of energy, and it feels like political stuff going on. I believe that this is, you know, when I look into it, it's kind of like you've gone as far as you can go with this, but I don't see any opportunity for you to change it probably until March. So you're going to have to hang in there through the holidays. Then,
in other words,
you know,
it's,
oh, I know you're going to have to, like, you know, endure this. But I see a great opportunity that actually will be a referral that'll come your way in the month of March. And, you know, this could be the whole reason why this is happening, too. And it even looks like you're going to get more money, too. Yeah, the third month,
so
it's March.
It could be the coding job on the third floor, you think?
I could be, because I see the number 3, and I see March, and I see that... I see a lot of energy around this, and it looks like loved ones and people who are around you, that, you know, they're like, you've got to get out of this job. It's making you sick.
It's making me crazy, Brenda.
It's driving you crazy, and you don't want it to physically make you sick. But you know what? You just need to play it cool, because your destiny is to get into something, another opportunity, and that's why it's become difficult. It's hitting you on the back of the head. Hello, you got to make a move,
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to try to call you Saturday.
Okay, let's chat Saturday.
Much.
That'll be awesome.
Okay, what time should we be there?
Is that Bobby?
Hey, it's a private chat.
Nice
oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Yeah, okay.
Have a good night.
I'll talk to you on Saturday, Deb.
Okay, honey. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Next, we have a caller from Georgia. Are you there?
Yes. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Good. What's your name? Hello?
My name's Bobby. What's your name?
Bobby. It's Kathy. I'm sorry. We faded
well,
in and
don't
out.
Don't be sorry. Why are you sorry? That's fine.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
I had a phone interview on November 2nd. Okay. And I thought that I would get a face-to-face, but I haven't heard from them. Is it no, yes? They're not doing anything. What's going on?
Well, it does feel like the time has passed. Yeah, way past. But you know what I would recommend that you do, and this is just common sense, you know, not so much psychically, I guess, but I would definitely give them a call. I mean, have you been in touch with them or tried to get a hold of them at all?
Well, I had spoke to them, I think on the 9th it was, and they said that they were still doing phone interviews, and I have called this week and no one has answered and no one has called me back.
Yeah,
so
I would really let this go. You know, part of the reason why I'm feeling that it may not have been a good fit for you anyway is just because I think in some ways you're overqualified. I feel like this would be a step down for you, even though you may be comfortable with that, or I just need to get something. You know how we do that to ourselves, right? We just say, well, I just need to get something so I'm out there and working. And while that may be a good thing and okay to do, I just feel like this would be that for you. You know what I mean? Like just a step down, and it may not have been a good match for you. So sometimes it's okay that those things don't work out. You know what I mean?
I guess. Do you see anything else?
I know that doesn't make you
because I need to go to work.
I know. I'm sorry.
I know what you're saying, but it's like the rock and the hard place.
It totally is, and I get that. But you know, sometimes if you don't necessarily have a perception of the bigger picture or where things can head, we always look at the immediacy of something and something does or doesn't happen, and then we judge how we're going to be either happy or not happy based on that. Instead of, again, that's why maybe sometimes you call or talk to one of us, is because we try to get a bigger picture of the things. And you can believe me when I say that the bigger picture looks like this would have held you back in ways that you might not yet be aware of or that you could imagine of how this wouldn't have been good. You know what I mean? Some people just look at it and say, well, I didn't get the job. How's that good? It's not in some aspects, but in other aspects in the whole bigger picture, it kind of is good because this will free you up to actually get with a job that's more appropriate for you. One of the things that happens with you is you tend to get, like all of us, like 7 billion people on the planet, you tend to get a little frustrated kind of easy, whether with yourself or whether with whatever's taking place. And when that happens, this job would have provided a lot of that for you. And you don't need that. So I think getting a better job that's more appropriate for you will definitely, you know, if you can be on track with that, that would be the next question, right? When would I get a job like that? And if I had time, we could definitely go into that. But I'm just trying to get you to clean up or clear up about this last job, that it necessarily wasn't a good match for you and just would have placed you into a position where you would become more frustrated all the time. And then, you know what I mean? And then you would be looking to leave that. So does that make a little bit, does that ease the boo-boo just a little bit?
No.
Not even close. Okay.
But I mean, if that's what you see, that's what you see. So.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in. All right. Take care. See, sometimes it's just not always what it is that you want to hear. But
it always seems, Bobby, in the moment when something doesn't, when we set our sight on something and it doesn't flow the way we expected it to or wanted it to consciously, it's hard to recognize that it's not right. It's like the end of a relationship, isn't it? I came out of a relationship in April and it was horrible. It was such an awful, it was just not a nice experience. And it's taken me 6 months to just get back to myself. But actually now I look back, I'm really grateful that that relationship dissolved. But I haven't been able to see that until now, until I've healed. So just with a job application or something that's current, we find it hard. It's so hard to detach and consider that there might be a much bigger picture. Absolutely. I remember once I applied for a job that I didn't get, and I was so grateful that I didn't afterwards because I got something much better.
You find out something about the company, or they went under, or something happened. You're like, oh my heaven's sakes! I'm glad.
There's always a reason behind it.
Always.
When you're in it, you can't see it. That's why they call us.
So, Steve, solve the world's problems in much the same philosophy that you just had. Do that for this next caller in Michigan.
In Michigan. Who's calling from Michigan? Hello, Michigan. Do we have someone from Michigan?
What are you doing, Steve? How about let's go? You know what? Let's slide
this
over.
This happened last week. Do you remember there were two people last week?
How about New Jersey? Let's just throw a dart out there and see if we can get somebody in New Jersey.
Who's calling from New Jersey? Hello?
Holy moly.
Hello?
Oh, there we go. Yay.
Hi, who's calling?
I'm in New Jersey.
Great. What's your name?
Oh, my real name?
Yes.
Connie Joy.
Connie Joy. How can we help, Connie Joy?
Oh, I've had a lot of major crises over the past 10 years, and one of them was getting out of a marriage, and it took me 17 years to trust another guy. And I just broke it off with this guy, and he's abusive as well. And I'm just trying to get some kind of guidance about how to feel better, what to expect, or anything he can tell me.
Okay. Well, you know, Connie Joy, when I tune into you, I really feel strongly the energy of the planet Pluto. And if you were to look back at your astrological chart, you'll probably find that Pluto was on the scene. And Pluto brings huge transformation, but it can do it in ways that are unsettling. It can get right to the core and shift something from our lives, shift something that's not serving us. And I really feel that, you know, these two relationships were about your self-esteem. And again, this might be hard to hear, but so often we come out of a relationship and we recreate what we experienced with someone else because we still haven't integrated what it is we were learning. Now, when I tune into you and I look at the situation, it's as though you really have shifted this time. You will not tolerate anybody that is disrespectful or unloving towards you. That is what you need to be very clear about. You are experiencing this shift because you're really deciding to recognize once and for all that you're wonderful, and you will not entertain the idea of somebody being in your life when they cause disharmony. A relationship should be easy. It should be loving. And Bobby really inspired me last week when he said that. A relationship should be loving, nurturant, and easy. And you need to really be very clear in your expectations now, because you're letting go of that energy and you are going to meet somebody wonderful. It's not going to happen straight away. I feel that there's a good 10, 11, 12 months for you to really love and nurture yourself and work on yourself, look after yourself, learn about yourself. Look at your personality type. The Enneagram is a wonderful tool. Look at your astrological natal chart. Recognize how unique you are, how much you have to offer this world. You have a huge, huge reserve of creativity. You've got real artistic talent, and it goes from drawing, painting, to writing particularly. You're a very deep, very transformational person. And these experiences you've had will serve you very well in helping others and in inspiring other people through writing, particularly, it feels to me. And as you unfold and as you let go and recognize that those old patterns don't serve you anymore, not required, been there, done that, learned what I needed to learn, very clear about where I'm going, very clear about my expectations of other people, you'll find the whole world changes. The old you has gone. You really are a wonderful person, and your energy is going to be very fresh next year. You've transformed, but it was painful. But it's the best growth spirit bring us. Does that make sense to you?
Yes. It
does. Amen, she says.
It's true.
Oh my God.
I tell you this, you have a wonderful grandmother that was born or passed in the month of April as well. And she's very much around you, and she's saying you're reborn.
That's my mother.
It's your mother. You reborn.
Yeah, yeah.
You are reborn. That's what she's saying. You are reborn.
Oh, good. Oh, yeah, I miss my parents terribly. Yeah, she was April 3rd, 1944, she was born.
Well, she's with you. She's with you.
Aww.
She mentions Margaret as well. You have an aunt or a great aunt called Margaret, if you look at your family tree. She says, look at the family tree, because she's been speaking with Margaret. They're all around you, and you've got to step forward into yourself, your role in the world. You don't need people that disrespect you. It's gone. Step into your writing, your art. Everything else will unfold. But be very clear about what you expect of other people. Write down what you've experienced that you will never experience again, and hold yourself accountable when you meet people.
Okay.
Okay?
Wow, there you go. He wasn't kidding when I said solve all the problems of the world in New Jersey. He did, didn't he? That was crazy.
Wow, that was wonderful. I'm really excited, actually.
thanks for calling in. We really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much.
All right.
Have a blessed day.
Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye. Goodness sakes, Stephen. Very nice job. Brenda, let's go to Ohio.
Hi, Ohio.
Hi.
Who am I talking to?
Leola Wiggins.
Hi, Leola.
Hi, how are you? Hi, how you
I'm
doing?
I'm good. What can I do for you this evening?
I wanted to look into a past relationship. What does it look like for us in the future?
Okay. Let's take a peek here.
Where's my picture headed?
Let's take a peek. Well, I definitely see him. It looks like he's coming back. And it looks like he's done a lot of work on himself, but he's still... And so there is a little bit... There's some hope where there wasn't hope before. I do feel that if in the past the relationship wasn't working because he hadn't come to terms with some things that were happening in his life, but there's still a very powerful attraction between the two of you. He is worried about finances, and I do see that he's working on something to bring himself closer to you. He has to leave some things behind, and once he does that, I feel that there's definitely hope for the two of you to mend things. He's going to reach out for you, and I'm seeing that it's, you know, I'm seeing the month of January is going to be very, you know, through the holidays, there'll be contact between the two of you and even a very intimate conversation. But I'm seeing January as the month in which a lot of things get cleared up, and there's a more clear pathway for the relationship for the two of you. And a lot of it has to come from him. He's got some issues he's got to work on.
Do you know what type of issues?
It looks like there's some financial issues. It looks like there's some things from family that are some things that he has to lay to rest. I'm not seeing it as deceptive. I don't feel that there's anything hidden in the sense that he's deceiving you. It's just that he has some stuff he hasn't taken care of. He's procrastinated. In order for him to move forward and for things to go good between the two of you, he's got to take care of these things. He's got a little bit of, you know, some bumps in the road around him right now.
Is there any other relationships?
I don't see that. I feel that there is somebody from the past, but I feel that between them now, it's just friendship. They may have interaction because they have to on some levels, but I don't see them in a relationship.
What do you mean by they have to? What type of
I feel that there's still some communication because they have mutual people that they know, family and friends, and so there is some communication there, but I'm not seeing a relationship anymore. I feel that it's cooled. Yeah. Did he tell you that he's left her?
Well, I haven't talked to him.
Okay.
I haven't talked to him lately, to know if he really did or not, or if he's telling the truth or not. If he, I mean, things that I asked him, I mean, I don't know whether to believe him or not. But.
Well, I see a separation between the two of them, and I also see you're going to hear from him right around the middle of the month. And this time when he comes your way, he's actually going to be able to honestly tell you he's taking care of some of these things.
Okay. What about his baby's mother? Is there anything between them two?
Well, there's the child, but that's about it. I'm not seeing that he's in a love relationship with her, but there is interaction because of the child. And there's even some legal things and financial stuff around that as well.
Are you able to tell me what they look like so I know if you're talking about the same person I'm talking about? Or is that friend?
The two women, you're talking about the two women?
Yeah.
One of them is tall and kind of slender. And her hair is done in a kind of elaborate, it's very pretty, long. And then I'm seeing the other one has got a lot of anger around her, and I do feel she's bigger. And I see that she's got anger because he's not wanting to come back and be in her life anymore. Has she contacted you? Or have you ever spoken to her?
No.
Okay. I feel she knows about you.
That's
I do.
The bigger one.
Yeah, I feel she knows about you and she questions him, but I really don't see him involved emotionally with either one of those women right now. He's trying to get himself together.
I'm seeing one at times, and I asked, "Are you?" And he's like, "No," but he's not telling me anything. He's just acting like he just won't tell me anything, like he's mad. So is that his way of just being away from me to take care of things? Or?
That's it. That's his way of, he's not ready to deal with it yet because he's got to take care of these issues. And there's financial and there's even some legal things around him he needs to take care of. But I'm not seeing that it's love related at this time with those two ladies.
Do you know why he's around that one particular all the time?
It feels like they have some ties, and there could be some financial ties there, things he has to take care of. Is she the one with the child?
No, it's another one.
Yeah.
That's not the one with the child.
The one with the child has another man around her, and I do see that man's quite present in her life.
We're going to have to move on. What? I'm sorry.
So there you go, my dear. I hope that helped you.
Okay.
Thanks for calling in.
Okay.
We have to move on. We have a lot of people on the phone. I'm sorry. But thanks for calling.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Take care. Bye. Sorry, Brenda.
Bye-bye.
I lost track of time.
That's all right.
Did that?
Okay, let's move on. We've got a caller from Indiana.
Hey, Bobby.
Hi. How are you?
Yeah, I'm freezing, but it's cold here.
So that would make sense then.
Yeah.
What can I do for you?
Hey, I was wondering if you could tell me if I'm on the right path as far as my career goes.
What makes you... So I'm going to answer this because you know how I do what I do.
I know.
So what is it that's appearing in your life that makes you think you're not on the right path? And I'm doing this for a reason, and I'll tell you why here in a minute.
I know. they're training me for other positions that I don't really like right now.
Okay. But
where I work.
There's three different positions that they're training you for, right? I'm getting three different varying...
Right now it's one, but yeah.
There's two,
putting me in two others.
Sure. Right, okay. So with all of that, sometimes... we have a lot of callers, so I have to kind of move this along. There's so much information coming through for you, but the thing is that you believe that you're on the right path. I think you're just basically asking me for confirmation, and I want that confirmation to come from you, not from me. So I'm trying to guide you into the step of, again, what is it that's appearing in your life that makes you think you're not on the right path in this career stuff? Part of what is holding you back is lack of faith in yourself or some of that confidence because you're not ready to move on and stretch. Mm-hmm. But you're in a good position that you need to start stretching out now. You know what I mean? And so
I do.
Stretching out in that, I mean, remember when you had this job, when you very first started this job, it also may have made you uncomfortable and a bit nervous, right? And so you were stretching at that point, and now it's time to stretch. You've needed to stretch for about the past 5 months now. It's needing to get out of that comfort zone so that you can start to expand. That's what needs to happen for you. That's what's good for you just now. And these jobs will allow you to do that. So if you can, I wouldn't look at it like, well, I don't like these that they're teaching me, so maybe this isn't right for me. Instead, I would look at it like, okay, if you're uncomfortable with what they're teaching or you don't like it, there could be a bigger reason, right? We talked about that a little earlier, that there could be a bigger picture for why you're learning these things. Humans have this incredible knack for putting the stamp of forever on things. And so when we get a job position or we get a relationship or anything like that in our life, well, all of a sudden we think, this is it forever. I'm going to be doing this job until I die or until I retire or whatever. That doesn't have to be the case. Sometimes the things that they teach you automatically are a stair step into the next direction, the next level, right? So if these things are being taught to you, try to open up and learn what it is that you have to learn from them so that you can move through them even faster. The more resistance you put up towards them, it's just going to make them that much worse to go through, and you're just going to suffer and have all kinds of resistance and stress about it and that type of thing. Now, I'm telling you this because I also sense that, yes, this isn't a perfect match for you, but I'm not also being told that you need to walk away and get something different. I'm being told that you just need to kind of hang in there and work with how you're perceiving or how you're opinionizing about them, not the actual job itself. Do you see what I mean?
I do. You see me moving up into management, though, Bobby?
That's where this is taking you. Yes.
Is it? Okay.
That's where this is taking you. You need to become a well-rounded manager, not just somebody who sidesteps all this other stuff and goes straight to management. You have to work a little bit. And for you, they're needing you to work just a little bit more. And I say they, angels, guides, whatever your belief holds. So this is good for you right now. I could have probably just said that and we would have had a 2-minute reading, I guess. But does that make sense, Max? You see what I'm saying?
It does make sense. It does.
Brilliant.
Make sense, Bobby.
All right, darling.
Talk to you later.
Yes, thanks for calling in.
Uh-huh.
All right,
bye.
Steve. Steve, you're up from Texas.
Okay, who's calling from Texas?
I don't know, is it me?
Yes, are you in Texas?
It is you.
I am in Texas.
Great, what's your name?
My name is Naomi.
Naomi, how can I help?
I have a question, a relationship question. I am in love with this amazing man. And everything about him is like gravity just pulling me towards him. I want to know if this man might be a love of my past life. Maybe you can answer that.
What's his name, Naomi?
I'm sorry?
What's his name?
Whose name? His?
The man's name.
Do I have to tell you?
No. No, you don't. It's
that
okay.
Was fun.
It's okay. You know, Naomi, I get asked this question so much, we all do, because clients often, you know, 50% of clients are calling to ask about their love lives or, you know, relationship questions. And I feel a strong connection with this guy for you, and that's good. But like everything, is there's another side to the coin. So yes, you have a deep connection with him, and yes, it's a karmic connection, and a karmic connection brings not only an awareness that you recognize the energy in each other, but it also brings things that need to be resolved. So like any relationship, there is work to be done. I see the potential actually for the two of you to be together. My guides use tarot cards and astrological symbols in my mind's eye to give me insight. And they're showing me the Four of Wands in my mind's eye. And I know that there are different interpretations, but the Four of Wands to me is a relationship, a long-lasting relationship. So the answer to your question is yes, there's a strong connection. I do see a strong potential in this relationship, but you need to do it awake. You need to be conscious of your issues, and you need to be conscious of his issues, and you need to work on... We all have issues. We all have things that we're working on in this lifetime. If we're conscious, if we're awake, then we determine what they are, and we address them lovingly, progressively, and we become our best selves, and we have successful outcomes. So if the two of you are prepared to understand each other well, and you can do that through astrology, you can do it through experience, you can do it through psychology, there are many different ways. But if you're prepared to understand each other and work on yourselves individually and together, then there's really good potential in this relationship. But don't take any of your previous baggage into this relationship, okay?
Got it.
Put it away. Process it. You know, you don't want to take old luggage into this relationship. And I don't want you to make assumptions about him based on what you've experienced in the past. And he mustn't do that either. So deal with your old baggage. Let it go. Don't rush on this. This is a relationship that unfolds really nicely as you progress. Don't push it. Allow it to unfold joyfully. Let go of old stuff. Okay?
Thank you.
There you go.
You're welcome. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. I appreciate it.
Good. Good luck to you. Lots of love.
All right. Noemi, thanks for calling in. Appreciate it. Let's move on to Brenda. You actually have a caller from New York.
Hi there. Who am I speaking to from New York?
Hey, Brenda. It's Tommy. How are you?
Hi, Tommy. What can I do for you this evening?
Wondering about a relationship that I'm in, if you see it going farther.
Let's so take
like
a peek here.
Or something like that.
Well, you know, I feel that there's a lot of good potential in this relationship. One of the things that I see is that you're in a particular position of power right now, and I do see in the next month that you've got a unique opportunity to really, you know, bring the two of you closer. You can't be afraid. I know some of the things that have happened between the two of you have kind of, you know, you felt like you've been pushed away, but it feels like now is the time to be bold. Yes. To act on some of these things that you want to act on and not be afraid to, because I see a coming together of the two of you. I really do. I feel that give it a couple months and I really feel that the union gets stronger.
It's just been a little difficult, you know, I'm a recovering alcoholic. She's got a 4-year-old daughter. I've known her for 30 years, just been dating a few months. And, you know, things are a little rough right now. And I think she's got her, you know, her guard up a little bit. And she says she loves me. And I just want to make sure she really does. You know, it's hard.
She does. And you have to act on it. And that's why I see you in the position of power. It's kind of like the ball's in your court right now. which means that, you know, you're the one to be able to move this. She's watching what you're doing, you know, and so you have the power to move it forward. And one of the great things about this relationship is it's a love of equals, and there's nothing better than being with another person who is a giving person, because if you're with somebody who's a taker, then it could throw you back into a situation you don't want to be in again. You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I see that there's a lot of potential with this relationship. I do. It looks like she's a very solid and steady person. She's someone you can depend on. If she says she's going to do something, she'll do it. You know,
a little too independent for me. A little too independent for me, she is. But I'm getting used to that.
Well, you know, it will be this way now. The closer that you get, you know, in your future relationship, a lot of that's going to calm down. And it'll be more centered on the relationship between the two of you. But she is an independent person.
Very, yeah. Very, very much so.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you so very much.
Well, you're welcome, honey.
Bye-bye.
All right. We've got one last caller on the line from Vermont. Are you there?
Yes.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Well, I was wondering if you could help me with relationships.
I can certainly try. You bet. What kind of question do you have, or what is it that you wanted to talk about?
Well,
where does one pull at that thread, right?
Exactly. Well, where do you see things going for me in a relationship within the next, say, 6 months?
6 months, really good. If you had said any sooner than that, probably 2 months, I would have had to say that you might need to be just a little bit more patient. One of the things I really enjoy doing is, you know, like Steve said, we get so many calls about relationships, and nobody wants to take a look at what do I need to do to get into a great relationship. They're always looking at, will that relationship come? And sometimes I think the best advice is to tune in to you and again your guides or angels or whatever your particular belief, and find out what it is that you might need to change so that your vibration is in a good place to have a relationship, right? So the only recommendation that I'm getting for you is past heart hurt and even some current heart hurt. So I don't know if you already have a partner in your life, but
no.
It feels like so if you don't, then this must have been the last one. But that tug of not getting completely what you wanted out of it, or you know how sometimes when you rely on other people, or you just want to be, you want them to be as happy with you as you are with them, and when you don't get that, it kind of makes your heart ache quite a bit. And you're still coming out of that. I would not change a thing. I would not look at your past relationships and say, what did I do that ruined that relationship, or what could I have done different, which is something we all do, right? I would not recommend that you do that. I think that there comes a time when we also need to acknowledge inside of ourselves that maybe it's nothing we're doing or didn't do, that sometimes it might be the other person just didn't fit with whatever light or energy and vibration that you were putting out at the time. Do you see what I mean? And so even though we all have, like Steve said to one of our last callers, that even though we still all have our stuff that we need to work on, you've done a lot of that and continue to do so. You just need to get over some of that hurt of being hurt from another person rather than the expectations of all of it. Do you see what I mean? Are you following me so far?
Yeah. So, do you see anybody from the past coming back?
Well, let's get to that. Let's do one thing at a time, and then we'll get to that. Absolutely. Okay. So the only thing I would work on is the heart hurt. Don't change a thing was basically the message as well, that you need to just continue to be who it is that you are, because I see you trying to figure out what went wrong and how can I change that, and don't do that. You stay exactly as you are. I think that's an important message, okay? As far as future relationships, now this starts rolling into your question. Give it a couple of months to go through that. And then, yes, I can see a past relationship, but I can also see a new relationship. So you'll be in a position, then you'll be calling me saying, well, now I got two people what do I be doing? Now, how would I don't know who to choose? You know, so you'd be in a really good position. But yes, I can see both happening. Somebody from your past can, you know, coming into your life again because I feel that they have changed also. And I see somebody new entering your life because of all the new progress and new belief in yourself that hopefully you will develop from all this. Like when, again, the message was don't change anything. I think that in a new relationship, you'll realize I didn't have to change anything and I drew this wonderful person to me. You see what I mean? So there's not necessarily the one answer for you, but at the same time, this kind of tells you where you're going if you caught all of that.
Yeah, in a way, but there is a certain woman that's been on my mind lately, and I've been wondering where she stands with me right now.
I don't think she does stand with you right now. I think that there's thoughts of you. I think that I don't get the feeling that she's trying to reach out to you or anything like that. So it may need a little bit more communication from you. But I mean, other than just the thoughts of you and thinking about you, I don't see that there's anything besides that. It might just be something that needs to be paid attention to, and then she'll come alive more. You know what I mean? But as far as feeling towards you, yes, she still cares about you, if that's also what you're asking. If she still cares about you or still has feelings for you, yes, all of those are there, but I just don't see her reaching out to you necessarily.
So is that something that will never happen, or is it something
say that. So it may not happen from her. That's what I'm saying. It may have to be more communication towards you, because she may be either embarrassed to get a hold of you or you know, like very nervous to get a hold of you. And if you open that door first, I think she'll be very receptive.
Okay.
You see what I mean? So it may have to come from you, but I don't see that it would not ever happen. It's not going to happen, because if I did, I would tell you and not to go in that direction. But it just feels like maybe it just needs a little bit more attention paid to from you.
So nothing's really coming through within the next couple of months as far as anybody new in my life is what you're saying.
So it could in the next couple of months. I just wouldn't recommend it. I would recommend where you're at. If you continue to do the things you're doing now to heal, in a couple of months, I think you'll be even more ready and in a better position to have a better type of relationship for you. Yeah.
So what should I be doing a couple of months from now? Should I be like out there seeking or just...
Well, so I have to wrap it up because we're actually getting ready to close the show, but you won't have to seek, you won't have to pursue, you'll just be ready. And then your intention automatically, your vibration starts drawing in newer people to you, newer relationships, new people that would be attracted to that vibration. So you don't have to go out and seek. Don't say, okay, it's been 2 months, it's time to look for a relationship. Don't do that. Just let it happen quite naturally, which it will. And then that vibration will automatically, again, you'll draw people to you that will put you in the position of having great connections with people. You see what I mean? You won't have to do anything. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
All right.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in. Good luck, okay?
All right, thanks.
All right, you bet. Take care. That is another show in the can. Steve and Brenda. Now, Brenda, you actually are doing the next two shows, right? Next week's and then the week after that as well. Do you want to – or just do you have next week's show?
I have just next week's show.
Just next week's. I'm sorry. I think I misunderstood. So tell us about next week's show then.
Well, we're going to have Lydia Hibby. She's an animal communicator. Actually, she communicates with animals, and she's very well known, like worldwide. And she has a book out called "Communications with Animals," and she's going to be speaking about her work. And I'm real excited about it, and you know, also curious about how she does some of her work and stuff. It should be really fun.
Great, very cool. Okay, well. Thanks again, everyone. Steve, are you going to be online after the show?
I am not online after the show this evening, but I will be online for most of the day and evening tomorrow.
How about you, Brenda? Okay. Are you going to go on after?
I'm going to be on live video chat later on this evening.
Okay, and I will actually be on live video chat here just directly after the show. So if any one of you, thanks so much for everybody who showed up into the chat rooms, everybody who's listening, anybody who's downloaded all of our archives. Remember, any one of us and all the other fabulous psychics that work for us here at PsychicAccess.com, you can get in touch with anytime. We've got our schedules posted online that you can take a look at. If you have a particular favorite psychic that you really have a great connection with, see when they're working and get a hold of any one of them. But that's going to wrap up another Psychic Viewpoint sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you here next Thursday.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic Access, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.